Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's time for you to feel better. Release what's been bothering you. Who or what is on your list? Who has ticked you off this week? Got a pair of tickets to see Incubus and 311 with special guest Badflower at Bridgestone Arena. That's going to be on Friday night, September 4th. Who's made you mad? 737-1025. 615-737-1025. Who wants to start? I'll jump in there.
Willie D.
Nobody's going to go.
Yeah, you guys start.
Okay. I'm just going to go on. I think I've brought this up in the past. It's been a while, but it keeps happening. I feel like it's getting worse, and I've just got to readdress this, and I'm just going to flat out call them out, okay? I'm not going to leave it a store to be named later. I'm a member of Sam's Club. I've been a member for a long time. I frequent there a lot. I go get a bunch of stuff in bulk. I love to buy in bulk. We've got one very close to the radio station, very close, the one on Harding. So I am in that one a lot.
It's actually one of the only ones in the immediate Nashville area, I think, because the one in Bellevue closed.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, I there's one in Murfreesboro that, you know, sometimes I forget. But since it's right around the corner from here, I go to that one a lot. And this is, I mean, I'm serious. This is in danger of me possibly punting and moving on. Like, it bothers me this much because I think it's wrong. And I know why they're doing it, because they're getting paid to do it. But if you've gone into Sam's Club lately, and like I said, I'm specifically talking about the one at Harding right over here by the airport, right off the exit. You walk in and you get attacked the minute you walk through the door. Who's your cable provider? And it's a DirecTV rep.
Oh.
Hey, have you done any renovations to your house? You know, I want to talk to you about some new doors and windows. Hey, I want to talk to you about some siding or some roofing. You get attacked everywhere you go in the store, and it really, really bothers me. I don't like to be mean to strangers. It bothers me. I've told you this. I tip well, especially if you do a good job. And if there's really poor service or a lot of bad things have happened, I cannot just stiff somebody. Even though there's been times, because we eat out a lot, I want to. But I just, you know, it's just, I got to do something. It's not going to be, you know, above and beyond, that's for sure. It's going to be the bare minimum. But I don't like to be, you know what I mean? I want to be nice to people because they deserve that. And I understand they have a job to do. I think they need to do their job somewhere else. I don't think that needs to happen in that place. I'm there to get what I need to get. I don't need to talk to you about doors and windows,
right,
and DirecTV and roofing and siding. I don't need that. If I wanted that, I will seek that out. I didn't go to your store,
right,
to get that. And I don't need to be asked that every time I go in there. And like I said, I'm borderline. If this keeps it up, I think I may punt. I may just get out. Now, there's a Costco about to open up in Murfreesboro, so I may switch over, but I don't know if I don't go to Costco, so I don't know if they do the same thing. Maybe somebody can help if you're a member of Costco. There's one in, what, Cool Springs? Is that the only one? Is there any other ones?
What, Costco?
Yeah, is there one on West Side?
Yeah, there's one in West Nashville, yeah.
Have you been to it?
Yeah.
Do they do that?
I'm a member.
Do they do that to you?
No.
They
have kiosks, or they have like reps for other things, but they don't. I don't feel hounded.
If you have a setup and you're behind that and you don't leave it,
yeah.
But I mean, they walk
they
around.
Walk
they
around.
Walk around and literally confront you. And I'm like, man, I do not. I avoid them at all costs.
Yeah. I think that's
and that's wrong. Like, why do I have to change my direction of an aisle or where I'm going just to avoid you from trying to hit me up from a cable provider or roofing or doors or windows? It's wrong, and those companies are paying them to do that, and it's wrong. They should think about the customers, and it's not right. That's not what you're there for. If you want that, you'll get it. Just not there.
I had that happen to me one time, and it was the company that I already have. And I was like, hey, I'm already with you guys. Love it. Thanks. Kept hounding me. Well, do you want to – I got a better package for you. You want to switch packages? I'm like, no, I'm good, man. I'm good with what I got. Kept going. And I finally was like, you're not getting anywhere with me. Okay? I have your service, and because of you, I'm about to drop your service because you're pissing me off.
See, that's what – it's just ridiculous.
Right.
Like, why do you have to get to that point?
Yeah. It shouldn't be that way.
All right. So – Sam's Club on Harding, because that's where I go, and I think it's all of them. I do. I feel pretty good, but at this one, I feel is the worst by far. Them.
You just made the list.
I'll go now, because this happened to me twice this week, and I feel like this has been a discussion on the show before. But when you go to a place, whether it's a store, you know, grocery store or convenience store, a Starbucks, whatever, and you have to stand in line to check out. To me, there are different protocols that people need to follow when you're in this situation. I understand that sometimes you have some sort of issue that has to, you know, that something's taking longer than the normal, you know, visit to the register. I get that. However, and you guys tell me if I'm off base on this. So twice, I had this happen this week at two different places where there was an issue with a gift card or some sort of payment issue that ended up taking upwards of 10 minutes. So you have a line forming, and you have this one person that's holding things up because the person that works there is trying to figure out what the issue is. So you have the line getting longer and longer. There's no help. They're the only person. In my opinion, that's when you say, okay, I am sorry for the inconvenience, but we have a line forming. Let me get these people through, and then I'll see if I can figure this out. That's how I would handle it, because now you're just ticking other people off. Because I had been standing there for 10 minutes. I'm like, I got to go. Like, I don't have time for this. Am I off base in thinking that way, that you have to – I know it stinks that there's an issue that's not this person's fault, but you got to move them to the side and get other people through?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. Willie, what do you think? Am I off base in this?
I've seen that happen. I've seen it handled correctly and incorrectly.
Right. And I've seen that's – it was twice this week it was incorrect.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
So I think –
in my opinion.
I think to the people that are holding up the line – and you don't get moved aside.
You just made the list.
That's how I feel. We got things to do.
Time is valuable. A quick thing. This is going to lead into my list. And this will be under the category of obvious. Susan Slusser, who covers the Oakland A's. Very interesting team to follow, because the A's have A, Mike Fiers, the guy who blew the whistle on the Astros. B,
Tony Kemp.
Bob Melvin, mm-hmm. who blew the whistle on the Astros privately before Mike Fiers did his thing. That was a very interesting thing that came out this week. So the A's were on to the Astros and telling Major League Baseball to do something, and they didn't until Mike Fiers came out. So the whole Jessica Mendoza and all the people are saying, why did he rat out? Well, tell me if anything would have been done unless Mike Fiers did what he did. That is evidence that that was the case. So that puts that group of people on the list. Those that were on Mike Fiers for doing what he was doing.
You just made the list.
Nothing would have gotten done. Bob Melvin tried to go through the proper channels, and Rob Manfred and everybody sat on their hands and didn't do anything. And, of course, the other part of it is the PR staff for the Astros. I mean, come on. Somebody wake up down there. They have now sealed the deal as the least most popular team of all time. I mean, they are going to be the villains from here forward, other than their fan base, right? And if you're an Astros fan, you're going to remain an Astros fan. That's part of being a loyal fan. But now, they're moving up quickly with the Yankees, right? And Duke basketball and the Cowboys. And you know,
no, I'm telling you, this year is going to be worse than anybody. There's nobody that's going to be... It's going to be worse on the road than the Astros.
But
nobody.
The level of contrition was low yesterday, almost to a person. You know, they just didn't come across at all contrite, truly contrite.
Nope.
Now, Carlos Correa, I thought, was the one guy that sort of did make some sense and tried to say, this is what we did, this is what we didn't do, and it was all wrong. By the way, I know there's probably some people that have been wondering about this. Tony Kemp.
Yeah, we just save that because we don't have time to get. Yes, he's spoken too. So.
And he says he had the opportunity to use the system.
Yep.
And did not use it.
They have. He is. I was going to get into that a little
bit
later.
He is now on the A's.
Yep. Nate, get us started. Who or what's on your list?
First of all, guys, what is on my list are windows during the winter time. You know, today's a beautiful day. You look outside, the sun is shining. You know that it is not warm out there. But because there's a window and it's a bright sunny day, you think it's warm. Your mind is like, ooh, the sun is shining. That means it's warm. But you know when you walk outside, that is not going to be warm. And NBC is also on my list because of the inconsistencies that they resemble from the NHL. This is my personal opinion. You know, they fired Jeremy Roenick, but they still have Mike Milbury on. I feel like Milbury has said some things that is a little worse than what Roenick did on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. So I feel like NBC has some explaining to do.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. Barrett, who or what is on your list?
Just to keep the string alive, let's go with Stillman. Awesome. So look, this is really serious to me. Myles Garrett and Goodell for letting him off easy with only six games, that's a really bad thing for them. He deserved a whole lot more than six games for that. And Myles Garrett is on the list because I can 100% guarantee you that Mason Rudolph did not call him that. Mike Tomlin doesn't stand for that. Marquise Pouncey would have turned around and flipped his butt right there on the spot. He would even wait till they get back to the locker room or UPMC Park or wherever they might happen to be. Ramon Foster right there on the line. Nobody in that team, in their entire culture, ever talks like that. Ever. And Mike Tomlin doesn't play it, and I think it's really lame of Miles to try to lay that at his feet, the man he almost murdered. Y'all have a great weekend, too.
All right. Thank you, Barrett. We've got loaded lines. We'll come back. Another round of phone calls on the other side. Who or what is on your list next? A lot of you are weighing in. Good to know I'm not the only one that it bugs the crap out of when you go into a store and you get hit up to switch your cable provider or to do a checklist of what you need in your house. How are your doors? Have you replaced your doors lately? Have you replaced your windows lately? Not interested.
We got this on the text line.
You force me to be mean, and I don't want to do that, but you force me. It's not right.
They do that hounding stuff downtown now out on the sidewalk. Had one follow me for three blocks one time. It's crazy.
615-737-1025. Next up is Mike. Mike, who or what is on your list?
Darren, watch out first and foremost at your local Walmart as well. They'll hound you. If you're in the electronics department, no matter if you're looking at video games or you're looking at the toilet paper across the other way, they think you want to get DirecTV. So it's also at Walmart as well.
Yeah, no, I've had some people tweet at me and say Walmart is bad too. Yep.
Well,
yeah, no,
they're owned by the same company.
Yeah, right. It's Walmart and Sam's Club, so yeah.
Well, there you go. Fair enough. Anyway, so for my list, I want to start by putting those Necco candy heart things the Valentine's ones on the list.
Is that what they're called? I never knew the name of them.
Why? Why are they on the list? Because they're just terrible. They don't taste good. You can never read the words that are on there. And they just go straight to the trash can for me. So for no other reason other than somebody gave me a box and I put it straight in the trash can later after saying thank you, that's on the list.
I like
that. Just made the list.
I think as kids, though, we did eat them, though, right?
I still eat them. No. I don't hate them.
Chase, you're by yourself.
I usually am.
Especially
on Valentine's Day.
Dang, sorry.
Wow.
Sorry,
wow, that's that was hard. A shot to yourself. Dang.
Self-inflicted wound.
That wasn't even on purpose. But, man. Way to own it yourself, I guess. But, again, like, this is an off-brand. This isn't even, like, the name brand one. So, it's like you have a bad candy, and then you get an off-brand people to try to make it. It just makes it worse. But last thing, on Valentine's Day, if you have not done anything for your significant other whatsoever, I think there's an age gap where you need to stop going to Walmart last second and picking up a random cheap stuffed animal and bringing it home to your wife. It's just kind of pitiful. I was in line at Walmart today, actually, and I saw 15 to 20 guys older than I am. I'm 30, who are picking up.
Oh no!
I mean, it works for their kids, but man. That's just desperate. Try to get more creative, please.
Thank you, Mike. And you're right. There's probably a line full of guys like that all over the city today. And really, when you're adults, like stuffed animal, like what are you doing with that? Like,
you have to know.
What is a stuffed animal? What?
You have to know your corner. You got to know your significant other. I had this conversation with someone recently about, you know, would you get your girlfriend or boyfriend something for Valentine's Day, or what would you get him? I'm like, you have to know them. I mean, you have to know the relationship at that point to decide if there's really, what you should do. That's how I say it.
I agree. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, who or what is on your list?
All right, guys. I'm a little late on this. Bear with me and be prepared for it, but Chase McCool is on my list.
Okay.
Oh.
This was because, you know, Shakira and J-Lo put on one of the best Super Bowl halftime shows. I mean, both those are eye candy, at least for me. And then he puts up it's on Twitter. He puts up a GIF, whatever it's called, of someone yawning during a halftime show. And I said, oh, no way. No way he's getting away with this.
Is that true?
Yeah, I did.
You did a yawn?
I was not entertained.
I want to know what he was not entertained about.
Wow.
I just wasn't feeling it.
Wow.
I mean, yes, they're nice to look at, but I just the performance, I was.
Oh, did they sing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even catch the singing. Yeah, I didn't even know they were singing. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like the arrangement of the music, and, you know, there were some songs I wanted to hear that I didn't, and so I just wasn't into it.
You wasn't into the J-Lo midsection grab?
I was not.
Yeah. The Michael Jackson? Yeah. The female Michael Jackson.
The tongue thing that Shakira did. I was like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah, that was a little aggressive. a little aggressive. Charlie, is that it?
That's it, guys. I have to call him out on
okay.
that.
Okay.
I
mean, hey, Charlie.
Who doesn't like J-Lo Shakira?
I hope you feel better.
It's all good. You can put me on the list. Great. That's fine.
He said, I feel great. Thanks for the call.
You just made the list.
He was clearly a big fan. I've seen people buy Shakira shirts after that Super Bowl halftime act.
Shakira.
And they tweet about it. They show pictures. Like, look at my new shirt. Like, their T-shirt.
Listen.
Like, wow, okay.
Shakira can get it. I was into that part of it. She can get it now. But I just...
Is she a better dancer than you?
You know the answer to that.
Trevor, who or what? Who or what is on your list?
Bro, I don't have rhythm.
Good morning, guys, from nice, cold Wisconsin. I woke up this morning, got out to my work truck, and I thought it said 9 degrees, so I was really excited. Dropped my pen and realized it said -9.
Yikes.
So, yeah, it's pretty cold up here. The person I'm going to put on my list is, it's actually somewhat related to what Chase said. I went to Krispy Kreme this morning and got my wife a box of dozen Valentine's Day donuts, and I took them to her work for her and her colleagues. And there was a woman in front of me who is the person I'm putting on the list. She had 47 dozen donuts, and she made the person, the only register person, help her count to make sure but there was a dozen in each box.
Are you being boxes. Are you being literal or are you just figuratively, like you're just a lot? Like 47?
47 boxes of donuts. It was for some sort of a charity. So I don't know if she got a discount. She had bags filled with five boxes each, and she had to take them out to her vehicle in one of their donut carts. She counted 47 dozen donuts.
Elijah, how many donuts is that?
If my calculator is correct, that is 564 donuts.
564 donuts.
And she counted every... There was a line of, like, 13 people behind me. I came in, there was, like, two. It took so long. I think I stood there for maybe 40 or 45 minutes.
You're crazy.
Just to get a dozen donuts.
You're crazy.
There's only one there's only one Krispy Kreme.
Man,
there.
You got a punt. Trevor, you got a punt.
It was worth it.
Really? There's no way I'm standing in line. Good for you. Good for you. There's no way. The minute she says I'll take 47 dozen, I'm like,
I'm out.
Peace out. See ya.
Deuces.
What's plan B? Not going to be here. See you later.
So she's on my list.
All right.
Donut lady.
There you go.
Wow.
You just made the list.
Thank you, Trevor. Stay warm, man.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
No, there's no 40 minutes. No, 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 no. Mark, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys, I don't think I'm going to beat that Krispy Kreme donut thing. That was terrible. All right, here's what's made my list. I'm an independent contractor. I deliver groceries for people that order groceries online, okay? People who made my list is when I go grocery shopping and I'm coming out of, you know, the checkout line, and there should be some baggers there. And I wear a uniform shirt. I wear a hat. I wear a lanyard. So when I get to the end of, you know, when I'm checking out the groceries, it seems like those guys, I'm going to say the store, Kroger, seem to just walk away every time I check out of the, you know, the checkout line with the customer's groceries. You know, and I'm on a timer, so I have to, I have to be precise on delivering my groceries. But when they just see me in line and they just start walking away, and I have to bag my own groceries, that's who made my list.
You just made the list.
I'm not very smart. I don't understand why. What am I missing here? Why would they walk away?
I don't know. Maybe they're not allowed to bag for us. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know, you know, but just seems like every time when I'm checking out at Kroger, they just seem to walk away like we're a bother to them, you know? I mean,
okay.
You know, we got to make our money too, but, you know, but I just don't understand why it always seems to happen.
All right, Mark.
You know,
thank
and I'm not the only one who this happens to. It's our fellow employees, you know, contractors that have the same problem.
Huh.
You know.
Okay, I don't understand that. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We could do a whole show on now that the self-checkout has become more and more routine.
Yep.
There's so much confusion in the regular, the old traditional way of going through the line in the groceries, right? Because there's less lines open, and when there's a line open, is it an express line?
Do you ever go to a human? Or do you
usually
just
not? Usually not, but I
97% self checkout.
But if you have a big load, it's
yeah.
That's when you need to go to the big one.
True,
but you can't go if there's not a line open.
Yeah.
Or if there's one line open, there's seven people there. Open up another line. I mean, just you know, I think that's where some of that comes from. People, there's not enough people. They don't know where they're going. It's creating confusion.
Brett, who or what is on your list?
Well, I was having a pretty good day. I did everything for my wife this morning, made her coffee, made her breakfast, got the kids ready, sent her out. Then I heard Incubus tickets were online. I was like, who made my list? And I made my list because I didn't get my wife any Incubus tickets. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brett.
Well,
you just
you're
made
on the
list.
Made a play.
He's like, I'll try this approach. See what happens.
Works. See if this works.
Tony.
Throw your hat in the ring.
A for effort. Tony, who or what is on your list?
Well, first of all, the Krispy Kreme guy. Buddy, I think you're crazy, but I feel for you at the same time. Who made my list? Gentlemen, 2 weeks ago I called, or maybe 3 weeks ago, I called about not getting my W-2 form from my former employer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we remember.
Well, believe it or not, they finally hand-delivered it to me yesterday, and they're still on my list. So
you just made the list!
I wanted to get that out there and let them know they're still on the list, but now I've got my W-2. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Great Valentine's, and your wife, great Valentine's Day for them.
Thank you, Tony. I got a little closure on his story. All right, final one. Graham, who or what is on your list? Hello?
Yeah. So this is regards to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
The people that make my list are the guys that wait till the last minute to come for flowers and chocolates. And they crowd the aisles while you're trying to get through.
There can't be very many of those guys, though, right?
No. Every year, they laugh. I tell you, there's about 50 of them.
No. Shocking.
Have you never been one of those
we're
guys,
stunned.
Graham? We've all been that guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, you got to put some more thought into it.
Well, except for me, I just said I'm alone every Valentine's Day, so I'm never that
guy. I mean, we all can't be Trevor and wait in line 45 minutes for a dozen donuts.
At least get a heart-shaped pizza.
Thank you, Graham. All right, we'll come back.
That's good.
Good stuff. We will come back with Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet on the other side. That's next. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, our next guest on Darren Donick and Chase has been with us all hockey season. And to our knowledge, we don't think he's ever had to bag out for breaking news or something going on. So we kept waiting all day yesterday, like, what is the big thing Elliot's about to break? What is he about to come with? I don't know if it was Boudreaux today. I don't know, but let's find out the urgency. Maybe it was to go get Valentine's Day gifts. Last minute, we've had that theme today on the show. Maybe he was trying to think ahead for today. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Thank you very much for your patience and understanding yesterday. I do appreciate it. I got to tell you, though, it wasn't that exciting. I had a couple people in town I needed to meet with who are, put it this way, they helped me with some stuff, so I wanted to take care of them.
Okay, fair enough. Before we delve into, by the way, Elliot Every Week brought to you by Kerry Zire Remax Elite, before we get into some real hockey stuff, we need to revisit last Thursday's visit, if you don't mind. Okay,
sure.
I had the very, very hard-hitting question, Elliot, of, do you pronounce it? This was in lieu of that night's game in Calgary with the Flames, Preds and Flames. Is it Calgary or Calgary, right? We had that discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. And you remember your answer, right?
Yes.
Okay. Kevin Pollock was the head official in the Flames-Preds game that night, and he made a call on the ice, and it sounded like this.
Let's get it at 8:09 of the period. Kevin Pollock will make the call.
29 Calgary, 2 minutes tripping.
What? Kevin, what did you, what did you say, Kevin? One more time, Pete Weber. Set it up, Pete Weber. What?
Let's get it at 8:09 of the period. Kevin Pollock will make the call.
29 Calgary, 2 minutes tripping.
What? Calgary? Elliot Freeman told me nobody says Calgary.
Elliot, I've had to hear about this for a week.
I was in studio and I about fell out of my chair sitting in here,
you know,
when he said
I gotta
that.
I got to tell you, the worst thing about that is Kevin's from Canada. He's got to know that. Like, you know, I knew I was going to get this week. I really couldn't. I didn't see it, all the replies to me at the time until the next day. And I was like, oh, I'm going to hear about this next week. That might be the true reason I ducked yesterday. I'm going to send Kevin a note. Like, that's embarrassing as a Canadian to pronounce it like that. Just embarrassing.
Isn't it funny, though, after we had that, you know, it was fun last week. It was lighthearted, you know, going down that road. And then he did it that night. And, I mean, the mentions that were on Twitter blew up here, because that's a credit to you. And the show, a lot of people were listening, and they heard that discussion, and they were all over it the minute he did that.
Yes, they were. And it's and it's embarrassing a Canadian would go into Alberta and pronounce it as badly as he did there. And I'm going to let, as a matter of fact, I think Pollock should be suspended like 3 games for that, for making Canadians and me look bad in the United States.
I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't bring it up. So that we can push that aside and move on.
I would do the celebration dance, too, if I was you. I got no problems with that.
Zach Cassian, he should not be celebrating anything. He was a knucklehead last night in Tampa, and the league is about to send him, hopefully, a very, very strong message that you can't karate kick somebody with skates on.
Look, I mean, we've all seen the injuries that have come recently from skate cuts. You know, I work in Toronto, obviously. I work some regional Toronto games. And we had a game right after Christmas on December 27th where if the New Jersey doctors hadn't acted as quickly as they did, it could have been incredibly serious, the skate cut on a player named Ilya Mikheyev's wrist. And he's still out of action and may not come back this year. So the league is really concerned about that. For those of you who aren't familiar with the way this has gone over the years, the skates get sharpened even or honed even more than ever. They're basically wearing sharp knives out there. And the league's concerned about it. As a matter of fact, there was a meeting at the All-Star game where they talked about extra protection for the wrists and making it mandatory. And they have, I think, 4 prototypes out there now that they're asking players to test to find which one they'd be most comfortable with. So this is a big issue. And then last night, you know, Cassian does that. Now, the way it works for suspensions is they can offer you an in-person hearing. And if they offer you that, that means they have the option, if they want, to suspend you 6 games or more. And Cassian was offered the in-person hearing. He declined it. One of my friends who used to work at the Players Association says that's a big mistake. You should always go in person if they offer you that to plead your case. Cassian decided not to do it. So they have the option to suspend him more than 6 games. The other thing to realize is he was suspended once earlier this year for 2 games. It was not a similar action. It was a fight. It was right before the All-Star break. So, you know, all of it is lining up for him to get 8 to 10 games. There was a stomping incident about a decade ago where Chris Pronger got 8 games. There was another one where Chris Simon, who's now retired, got 30 games, but he'd been suspended, I think, twice in a row right before that. There was one where Jeff Skinner, now of Buffalo, did something similar to Cassian. He got 2 games. I think Cassian's going to come around. This is my guess, not based on anything. I think he's going to come in around 8 to 10 games. But
good.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got more.
I hope it's double digits. That's just me. I hope it's double digits.
I wouldn't be surprised, guys. I wouldn't.
We had David Poile sit down at the table with us yesterday when we were over at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, and in lieu of their game last night against the Islanders. And I brought up the Jay Bouwmeester incident in Anaheim. Scary, scary, scary moment. In 2005-06 season, the Predators were playing the Red Wings and Yuri Fisher. That happened in that game, and they canceled it. A guy that we got to know was a former Predator, Rich Peverly. I think that ended his career in Dallas, that scary moment. And so we've seen this, and I'll tell you what I said to David, it really makes you appreciate the way the league has set up with all these teams and all these arenas around the league to have the paramedics and the proper personnel there on site. They're saving lives by what they're doing, and they are on it immediately, and that's a good thing for the league.
Well, it's a huge thing. Like, I was talking, like, obviously when this happened on I guess it was Tuesday night, the ripple effect was enormous. You know, everybody was aware of it quick. You know, unfortunately, we've seen too many of these incidents like that. You guys mentioned Fisher. You guys mentioned Peverly. There was one in the American Hockey League last year with Craig Cunningham, who was playing for Arizona's team at that time. You know, I think there's people kind of wondering if there's something we have to look at here for a reason this is happening a bit more. But, you know, the one thing that one of the governors said to me was, the only thing you take pride in out of this is one of the safest places now to have this kind of cardiac event is a hockey rink, because the people have proven that they've learned the proper techniques and they have an excellent protocol to make sure that from here on in, they know how to take care of you, and you've got the best process to take care of you. And I was talking with someone from the league, and that incident you mentioned with Fisher, it was something they looked at and said, it scared them. Like, they saw what happened, and they realized the doctors and the training staff did a great job. But what they said was, we have to make sure our protocol for this is excellent. And they have. And one of the things that they do, guys, is they created a rule where the doctors knew that they had a clear path to bench. And basically what the league said was, your doctor has to know that he can get to the bench, I think, within about 3 minutes. So they have to be given great seats right around the bench, or they have to be somewhere where they don't have to take an elevator. There's no locked door. They know they can get there. And between the Anaheim staff, the St. Louis staff, the EMTs, and the doctors, you know, you all saw they did a great job for Bouwmeester.
Talking to Elliot Friedman. And Elliot, Connor McDavid's prognosis here. I believe he got injured against the Predators, although he did finish the game.
He did.
So what's the prognosis on him? I know you've been following. He had the knee issue before the season started, and it's crazy how well he's doing, even though he is dealing with that. But so how quick, what's the best case scenario? What's worst case scenario for him?
I think we're looking at right around the trade deadline. You know, they said 2 to 3 weeks. You know, they say it's not the same injury as the one that happened in the summer, and it was your game where he got hurt. I think one of the biggest things, guys, is it's a little different here now. It's pretty obvious that McDavid's medical team kind of has control of these situations. Like, it's not the Oilers who are really overseeing his care. It's his medical team, which features a renowned doctor, chiropractor by the name of Dr. Mark Lindsay, and also Gary Roberts, who played in the NHL. He's a big factor in McDavid's recovery. So information is kept pretty tight that way, but we're thinking he should be back around the trade deadline, maybe a week after. They don't seem as concerned about this one as they were about the summer one.
So now let's move on to Shea Weber. And, of course, there's a lot of reasons, of course, you know, long-term, if the injuries catch up so much that he has to officially retire. So let's leave that to the side for now. But, you know, with our respect for Shea Weber, we want to see him do well. So what have you learned in the last couple of days? I know there was one prognosis that looked really bad, and then the Canadians came out and said 4 to 6 weeks. So what do you think?
Well, I spent a lot of time in the last 24 hours working on this one, you know, because obviously it's a big story, and tomorrow night for our show, we have the Canadiens game against Dallas, so we want to do some work on it. This is what I can tell you guys. So he got hurt on the 4th. It was a game on last Tuesday against New Jersey, and there was a lot of us thought it was on a blocked shot, and it doesn't appear that was the case. Like, it wasn't like a broken foot. They announced it was an ankle sprain. Like, I think he got caught in a rut or something like that, and I think that's where it happened. But I don't know 100%. But it wasn't the block shot. So he finishes the game, and the next day, he told the team he was in a lot of pain. So the doctors took a look at him, and they said there's too much swelling. We can't do an MRI right now. And so they waited until the weekend, and they did an MRI, and the doctors apparently said, you know what, like, we can't even tell with this MRI. There's still too much swelling, so we're going to have to wait a couple more days. And then apparently they came up with the idea that there's a doctor named Anderson. His name is Dr. Roger Anderson. He works in Green Bay. He's with the Packers. He's kind of a renowned foot ankle doctor, and he did Weber's surgery 2 years ago. They said, why don't we send him to this guy? And so they booked an appointment for him last Wednesday. Now, I heard the same rumors, or this past Wednesday, I heard the same rumors that it was really bad. And I reached out to someone, and they said to me, look, don't jump to any conclusions because we just don't know. Until we get an answer, we're not going to say anything. And I heard the same rumors everyone else heard, but they went and they saw this guy on Wednesday, and that's when they found out on Wednesday afternoon that he said it's not as bad as we feared. So I think that I think in the vacuum, it got kind of, the rumors kind of snowballed, and the Canadians just felt like, and you guys know how private Weber is too. He doesn't like information about him out there. They just felt they weren't going to give an update until they knew for sure, and they got better news than I think maybe they expected. But, you know, he seems to believe it's 4 to 6 weeks, and he has a chance of being back this year. But I heard those same rumors. The Canadians just don't seem to believe they're as bad as the worst-case scenario was out there.
Very intriguing story in Minnesota with Bill Guerin making the change in the coaching staff, and that's a team that looks like it's just not going away. The Predators are sitting there going, boy, you've got to be better than Minnesota if you're going to make the playoffs, but Minnesota's hanging right in there. Kevin Fiala, as you have in your notes, he's playing some pretty good hockey right now. So why the change?
You know, I got to tell you guys, like, I was shocked when I heard this one this morning. I absolutely was surprised. Like, you know, they lost last night in a shootout on a disputed shootout goal.
By the way, bad call, right? There's no way that should have counted.
I don't agree with it.
I mean, Quinn even said, I thought there was a real shot they weren't going to count that.
That's the one, like, let's get on the bus and get out of here before they right. Start the bus, let's go, yeah. I was shocked because I do think, like, I think Milwaukee, I think that the Wild have played way above their heads this year. Look, I think we all knew that at some point in time, Bill Guerin was going to make the change. I listened to his press conference just now, and he said, I thought there were games we could have done better. I thought the top two lines could be better. I know there was another GM who said to me today, he's like, is this a stealth tanking job that you just want them not to make the playoffs? And I was kind of laughing about that. But, you know, Guerin said that he felt they could be better. So, I don't know. I just think that at some point in time, this was going to happen. And Guerin just decided now is the time. But I was as thrown by the timing as you guys were. I really was.
Elliot, as we wrap this up, I saw Zach Bogosian has been placed on waivers by Buffalo. He's got a big cap hit. He's injury prone. Do you think he clears, or could there be a team desperate enough, maybe the right way to put it, to take a shot at him?
I think he clears, but I do think there might be someone who tries to trade for him at the end, like closer to the deadline. That way you get the littlest number on your cap. Does Buffalo keep a bit of money for you? I heard one of the biggest problems with trading him is just his cap hit. And there's too many teams capped out. So my guess is for that reason he clears and the Sabres try again to make a deal closer to the deadline.
I thought we were a lot more buttoned up and more businesslike this week. So
no, but that's fine. Like, you know, like people like, you know, people don't tweet about that with Kevin Pollock if they don't like it. I think Kevin should have to give up his citizenship. But I
hey, when we talk next week, it'll be really interesting because we will be ever so close to that trading deadline, and I'll be curious to see where we're going with the conversation next week. Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, look forward to it.
Elliot Freeman with Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, brought to you every week by Carey Zire, Remax Elite. Back to wrap up third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. This is why you listen to the show for this very moment, right now. This is exactly why you listen to the show, okay? And you don't turn away. You stay with us. Because you weren't told that something cool was going to happen to close out this hour. How about tickets to the game Tuesday night at Bridgestone Arena? Hurricanes and Preds. That's what's on the line. That game is on February 18th. That will be 6 days away from the trading deadline. If you can correctly answer this question, Craig Smith became just the third player in Preds history to record his first career. By the way, Craig Smith joined us at the beginning of the show today. We had a great conversation with him. Became the third player in Preds history to record his first career regular season hat trick at 30 years of age or older. Just name one of the other two. You don't have to name both, but there were two other guys that recorded their first regular season hat trick in Preds history at the ripe age of 30 or older. You can just name one of the two, and you'll be in the rink with us on Tuesday night for the Preds and the Hurricanes.
It's Valentine's Day. I'm going to give you the answer right now. Did you get that?
Well, I don't know why. You just ruined it. Why did you do that? Well, do it. Just say it again.
Okay, it's...
See? And the other one, too.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah, okay.
That's can we give hints?
Chase just gave it away.
I'm sorry.
Can we give hints?
737-1025, 615-737-1025. Do we think this... Oh, we have a winner. I thought this may be a little difficult. Elijah?
Well, if you were listening to the show, both guys have been mentioned.
Yes, they have.
At one point or another on
the
show.
Well, that would have been a hint. That would have definitely been a hint.
I guess this guy didn't need a hint.
That's Kathy. Kathy got it.
Kathy Shields. Nailed it.
Wow,
Kathy. Now, I'm curious of which one she said.
Which one did she get?
Elijah, hold on. Tell us which one she said.
She took Shea Weber.
Shea Weber. Kathy nailed Shea Weber, who was just brought up in the interview with Elliot Freeman. The other acceptable answer would have been Eric Nystrom, who we also talked about earlier in the show. Nystrom did it in the 2014 season, and Shea Weber did it in the 2015 season.
I like it.
So how about that?
Good job, Kathy.
So Craig Smith, Shea Weber, Eric Nystrom.
Wasn't Nystrom's...
All Predators players that recorded their first career regular season hat tricks at either 30 years of age or older.
When was that Nystrom did it?
What
was
2014.
Wasn't that a four-goal game?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we talked about that earlier today. Right. That's how it came up.
Yeah. In a loss.
That's right. Okay.
Were you with us?
Yeah, earlier in the show?
Your mind must have been...
We had this exact...
If you forgot between 10:45 and now, we got issues.
You guys have known me for a while. That's really not a stretch.
I mean, you open up a bag of chips and all hell breaks loose.
What are in these chips?
Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about because the Blues last night got a four-goal performance, which is next up for the Preds, in a loss last night. They had a guy score four goals, and they lost.
Yep. Zach Sanford.
Who's not exactly who you would think on the Blues. That would be your four goal.
Not that you would think of Eric Nystrom as the guy who's going to come out and score four.
It's a very good point. So congratulations.
By the way, Craig Smith was close to scoring four last night. He had the third very early in the second period.
He had the third in the second period.
You know, close to the midway point of the second period, and some good looks after that. Mm-hmm. That line was so good last night.
They certainly were. And as we discovered or pointed out last night on postgame several times, that line was a plus four.
That's a nice night.
Because they were a part of four of the five goals. And it was a shutout.
Thank you.
Skillsy was giving you a hard time
about
that one.
They were plus four. Well, yeah, I mean, I was trying to be, you know, not everybody understands that.
Hey, did you know they were plus four last night?
And how, you know, he loves.
And Eric Nystrom had a four-goal game.
He loves the dig a little. And he's like, yeah, it's because that line scored four goals and they didn't have any goals scored against them. I was like, yeah, it was a shutout. All right, so Kathy Shields, we'll see you Tuesday night at Bridgestone Arena for the Preds and Hurricanes. See why you need to be listening at all times. We'll come back. Hour number four next.